border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Well, let's pray again. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word to us. We thank you for this miracle that Jesus did that we're looking at tonight. Lord, we pray that you may do miracles in our hearts and minds as we listen to your word this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder, what has God done for you lately? Have a moment just to think about that question. What are you grateful to God for? Maybe you could thank him for it now in the silence of your heart. I hope we can all thank God for at least one thing that's gone on recently. God has given us so much, hasn't he? He's made us and he's put us into an amazing world which he has created for us. He gives to us the breath of life and food to eat and water to drink. All good things come from him. As our hymns celebrate, we plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and soft, refreshing rain. God's abundant blessings to us in creation. But there's more than these common graces of God. There is the fact that God sent his Son to earth to save us, to die for us, so that although we have rebelled and turned away from him, from God, we can be welcomed home as his children through trusting in his Son. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. But there's more. You, I hope, each will have personal stories of how God has shown you personally his love and mercy, how he has poured blessings on you, answers to your prayers, unexpected good things and blessings, friends and families turning to find Jesus for themselves. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Think about those different types of blessings from God, particularly the last sort of blessing. What was your response? What is your response to receiving these gifts from God? Today's passage helps us to consider what is the right response to receiving mercy and blessing from God. So let's dive in to our passage tonight from Luke's Gospel. For today in our reading, we meet people who have a great reason to thank God. They find healing and release from a terrible affliction. They've received a blessing in the last of those categories. They've cried out in prayer to Jesus, and they have found healing. Jesus himself is still on his final journey to Jerusalem. Now, it's clearly not a direct journey, because today we find him nearly back where he started from. This reminder of where he is going, though, starts his final movement towards Jerusalem and his death on the cross. He's like an aeroplane that's been circling the airport and is now coming into land. Now the moment for his arrival is imminent. But his location is important in another way. He's just outside a border village between Samaria and his home territory of Galilee. This is a place where Jews and Samaritans rub shoulders together. And they are mutually antagonistic to each other, as we've already seen if you've been reading with us through the whole of Luke's gospel. Their nations are related, but they are suspicious and hostile towards their half-brothers. But some at least are living together, 10 of the local leprosy sufferers. Across this racial divide, they share a common misery and support each other. Leprosy here is an umbrella term for many forms of skin diseases. I'm going to use the word leprosy and leper all the way through because it's just easier, but think much more widely than that. And these skin diseases in ancient times were seen as dangers, and they would spread easily. So there were regulations in the Jewish law about how to deal with sufferers from leprosy. And the Samaritans also shared those laws. Lepers were banned from entering towns, so they lived in isolation outside. And they were meant to cry, "Unclean, unclean," as they passed along so that no one would inadvertently catch their disease. Today, these lepers are keeping their distance still, but they cry out a more positive cry, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us," or "have mercy on us." They clearly know who Jesus is, and they cry out, asking for Jesus, the healer, to take pity on them and to heal them from their dreadful disease, and so allow them to rejoin their family and their friends and take up again their place in society more generally. While the cry for pity or mercy is obviously quite a wide-ranging cry, it's clear here what they are asking for. They want to be made well again. They want their healing and the restoration that comes from it. Jesus' answer is interesting. He says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Doesn't say anything about them actually being healed. Jesus here, like them, is following through with the Jewish law. When someone was healed from a skin disease, they are told in Leviticus to go and show themselves to the priest who would certify them as being cleansed of their disease. Quite glad that priests these days don't have that kind of role, really. Cleansed here, though, is an important word because with the leprosy came, obviously, spiritual baggage with that too. Before, they were considered unclean, a danger to both physical health and spiritual health too. Along with being outside of society, they could not come before God to worship at the temple. So their healing would mean a lot. Restoration in themselves from the disease, allowed again into society and human relationships restored, but also restoration of that relationship with God too. They would be allowed again into that worshiping community. It was crucial for them to see the priest so that they could take up that position in society and that worshipping position once again. But the thing is that going to the priest was quite a big act of trust in Jesus as a healer. They had to go to the priest while they still had the disease to say to him, "I don't have the disease anymore." They had to act as if they were already healed to be healed. And that's emphasized in the way Luke exactly puts the phrase in the original Greek, "and as they went, they were cleansed." There's a kind of sense to it, something like, "and it came to pass in their going that they were cleansed." It's part of their going and putting that trust in Jesus into action, faith in action, being obedient, that they actually found their healing. They obeyed out of faith in Jesus' healing to ability to heal. And as they acted, they were healed. I love that as a picture because I often find that as a true picture to me putting Jesus' commands into practice too. I don't know if you've experienced this. I sometimes feel like an uncleansed leper going to the priest to say I'm cleansed when I'm acting in trust to obey Jesus' commands. You know, some of them are a little extreme, aren't they? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Forgive 70 times 7. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. As we put these radical commands of Jesus into practice, we might be thinking, "Really, Jesus? That's what you want me to do?" But I find that as I do that out of a place of, I'm going to trust that Jesus' way is the best way to live my life, I find rich blessings in that place. because we find that Jesus' way of life is the best way to live our lives. And we're amazed where we get it to in the long run by following him. It's a picture of our faith. But back to those 10 lepers. What a gift they've been given of mercy from Jesus and God. So what happens next? Well, only one of them returns to thank Jesus. Only one of them, we are told, praised God. I think that's probably the most amazingly outstanding thing in this part of Luke's gospel. Healed from a terrible disease, which means you're cut off from friend, family, society, and God. You'd think that if we experienced that, we'd all race back and say, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord, from dawn to dusk. But only one of them does. That's really interesting, isn't it? Now, this man who does return, doesn't stay at a distance. He comes right to Jesus' feet. He's been cleansed. And he throws his face on the ground in front of Jesus. He's thankful. He's humbled in the presence of Jesus and recognizes greatness in him. He recognizes God's presence in him. In the posture of worship before Jesus, this man praises God and thanks Jesus. And this man's praise is a sign of his faith in Jesus. And Luke saves the punchline, the shocker, for the first readers right until the end. The man was a Samaritan. Or as Jesus puts it, as he questions where the others were, this man was a foreigner, a term which has the connotations of pagan or heathen. In the Jewish temple, there was a big sign that stopped people who were not Jewish from going any further into the temple. And that's the word used on that sign, is the word Jesus uses here. He's someone that is not allowed access into the temple to worship God, but he's the one who comes back to praise God. Jesus' questions show how this outsider's response shows up the response of those who should have known better. Jesus' own people, those lepers who were Jewish. Maybe they were so absorbed by their healing and all that it meant for them, how their lives were going to be so different, that they forgot to thank the healer. It might actually be even worse if you think about it. Now they have been healed, they might not have wanted to be associated with Jesus. By now, he was a marked man. Whatever the reason, we don't know. It's tragic and amazing that they did not come and thank Jesus, and they did not praise God who healed them. Luke has been telling us all about different types of people who were outsiders, sinners and tax collectors. Then we had the poor beggar Lazarus in his parable, and now we have the heathen or pagan Samaritan man. All of these represent people on the outside who are responding to Jesus in a way that the good Jewish religious people are not. It's a thread which runs through the gospel accounts of Jesus' life. The outsiders are welcomed in. Those who know they need God's help, while those on the inside, the smug religious, were left on the outside of the forgiveness which is being found in what God is doing in Jesus. It seems that this man is another person who realizes he doesn't just need mercy from God for healing from his leprosy, but he needs God's mercy, merciful forgiveness when faced with the mess that he's made of his life. He needs God's compassion. For the way to God is not through us trying hard, like the religious people of the day, trying to be good enough for God, because we can't be good enough. Nor is the way to life found in a life of irreligion, ignoring God and his law. The way to God is through seeking mercy for where we've got it wrong, and finding forgiveness in Jesus for our wrongdoing, and help for the future through his Spirit living in us. It takes faith and trust in Jesus to ask for this mercy from God, but it is the way to life and freedom. This is doubly underlined by the last comment from Jesus to the Samaritan. Rise and go, your faith has made you well. Only the Samaritan of all 10 of them is commended by Jesus on his faith. The others maybe trusted him as a healer, but no more. This Samaritan's faith has clearly gone further. And Jesus' words here are rich with meaning. The word rise is also the word the early church used for resurrection, when Jesus was risen from the dead after he died 3 days later. Jesus seems to be hinting at the new life that this man now has. Not just the new life of physical healing and social acceptance, but new spiritual life too, eternal life that he can find in Jesus. And the word Jesus uses for has made you well would normally be translated as saved. The man has found forgiveness from his sins through Jesus, through the much bigger problem that we humans face. He's found salvation. We could translate this little phrase as receive new life and go. Your faith has saved you. Maybe, I'm not sure how much of that is Jesus is trying to bring out at this point, but it's all there for us. Where we find faith in Jesus, we find that new life, new spiritual life, and we find salvation, forgiveness from all our sins. So I urge us all tonight again to be people who constantly seek that mercy of God through Jesus. Whether it be for the first time or the 100th time, let's seek God's mercy, seek his help to change, seek his forgiveness, find healing for our whole persons, our whole life, and find that relationship with God restored. Lord Jesus, we pray, have mercy on us as sinners. But there is more here too. Mercy is found through faith, but mercy turns to praise. Remember what Jesus condemns the other lepers for. Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Praise is a verbal recognition of who God is and what he has done for us in words or in song. It's a foundational response to being shown mercy by God, big or small. And faith includes us recognizing how great God is and how we need his help. And this is expressed in our praise of God. And if someone is not a praising person, we might doubt whether they really have faith in God in the first place, if they're not going to recognize just how amazing he is. And it does seem amazing the other 9 did not come back to praise God and put their trust in him. But in the Gospels, not all who are healed do become followers of Jesus. And it's the same today. I used to be part of an evangelistic cafe in a town centre, and we would pray for people's healing and then talk about Jesus over cake. We saw many, many people miraculously healed. But only a few responded to God's mercy in praise of God and in faith in Jesus. We can be receivers of God's mercy without finding the faith that it should lead to and the praise that it should lead to. And this comment of Jesus brings us full circle and asks us where we are like the 9 here, receiving God's blessing from the mundane to the truly miraculous, and we fail to praise him and thank him for it. For praise is the right response to God's mercy. Praise should spring forth when God is merciful to us. Psalm 30 speaks of receiving God's help and mercy. To the Lord I cried for mercy. Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. It goes on, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I praise you forever. Praise is the right response to what God has done for us. But how often we find that we fail to count all the blessings that we have received and thank God? How often do we look at the negative rather than the positive that God intended? If we're not people of praise, our faith descends into lifeless, loveless duty. Would someone visiting our church and observing us praising him tonight consider that we've fully understood and appreciated the amazing truths that we hear spoken of? Or would our praise and worship give them room to doubt? The loudest praise I've ever heard in Kirkella Church didn't, well, it did happen during a service. It actually happened during a wedding. This might sound strange. During the signing of the registry in one registers in one wedding, it was a lot of Hull FC fans at this wedding. They were diehards. And Tony played the tune, I don't know what it is, that they all sing. I'm not a rugby fan, I'm really sorry. And that is the loudest I've ever heard people singing in Kirkella Church. Do you not think that's a little sad? Do you not think that's a little sad? If someone saw us at a party or a rugby match, enjoying ourselves, maybe even passionately singing, and then saw us at church, what would they conclude about where our deepest passion is? God made you to praise him, and he deserves all your praise. Jesus deserves your eternal thanks. So take time to count those blessings, to note them down, to note the prayers you pray and the answers that you receive from God. Be constantly looking for God expressing his mercy to you and giving you good things, and thank and praise him for it. And most importantly, keep the cross of Christ central in your thanks and praise, for that is God's greatest and biggest and most wonderful blessing to us. Be people of praise for all God has done for you. Come close to Jesus like that leper did. Bow before him and praise God with all of you. Voice, heart, mind, spirit, and body. Yes, body too. We are physical earthly people, so we can involve our bodies too. When your wailing is finished, why not have a little dance like in the psalm? And when you recognize how amazing Jesus is, why not fall flat on your face in front of him and praise him? Well, maybe that's not very Kirkella and Willoughby, but we can maybe do a little swaying or something. We can use our bodies too. We want to use all who we are to praise the God who's made us who we are. God has done so much for us. And if you're sitting there tonight thinking, well, I just can't praise God at the moment. Things are so bad. The bad surely outweighs the good. I always remember the story that Corrie ten Boom tells of her experience in the Nazi concentration camp. She tells of a struggle that she had to thank God for everything. She was in a disgusting and absolutely unhygienic prison block. Her sister Betsy had urged her that morning through the Bible readings that they had to rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances. It's there in the Bible. So they thank God for everything. Lastly, Betsy thanked God even for the fleas that infested their room and bit them constantly. Corrie couldn't bring herself to thank God for those fleas. She objected. I guess I would too. I'm not judging her for that. But later they discovered, amazingly, that those fleas that they disliked so much were the reason that they were never checked on by the guards. They were free to read God's word together, just with complete abandonment, really, because of those fleas. Even the fleas were a blessing from God they could thank God for. So let's praise God when we see his mercy. And let's praise him and rejoice always, giving thanks in all circumstances. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. As a response to this challenge in this passage to be people of
delighted about the appointment